started in here.
It's that time of day. We don't know what we will say, but we'll say it anyway. And Samantha's here to push all our buttons. Headlines of the day. We'll be covering it all, okay.
Justice and Drew.
Justice and Drew
is on right now.
Justice and Drew
will be on till 9 o'clock.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. Welcome to your Monday edition of Justice and Drew, your veto everything edition.
God, what a jerk.
Drew,
my gosh. You get a veto.
Why are you calling
me? Not you. You're not a jerk. She's not a jerk. Dayton's a jerk.
Mark Dayton is a jerk.
Mark Dayton's a words can't say on radio. Holy cow. I thought my whole, you know, tooth and headache and all that nonsense was bad. This is a bigger pain.
Yeah.
What a straight up. Just jerk. Just a petty, vindictive, all morning jerk.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that really jumped out at me, and we'll get into there's a lot to get to. There's a lot of details about this final chaotic, crazy weekend of the legislative session. But the one that really jumped out to me was when he vetoed the money that was dedicated to go towards the deputy registrars whose businesses are crumbling around them because of the failed MNLARS system.
Right.
The legislature passed a $9 million relief bill to help them out. Be like, hey, sorry we broke everything. Here's something to help keep you afloat. And the governor vetoed it.
Right. The legislature had until midnight last night, and Dayton's now has all these bills, got 14 days to figure out what he's going to do with these newer versions of many of them, because he vetoed so many of them earlier in the weekend. And the thing that really is going to, you know, tick you off about that one, because I'm with you on that, was his whole reasoning for not providing the deputy registrars with the $9 million was because they didn't include more millions to fix MNLARS. Right. So the individuals, apart from the public at large, who can't get what they need to get for their vehicles, the individuals directly impacted by this the most continue to have to carry the burden for the failed MNLARS situation under Governor Mark Dayton. And they now won't get relief because of Dayton's petty and vindictive nature of what he did this weekend.
Right.
Unbelievable.
The entire state, everybody in this state, is going to feel significant pain come next tax season.
Right.
Because Dayton didn't get his, quote, emergency $138 million to just hand out to a bunch of school districts that don't need the money. There's a handful that do, and the legislature tried to work with Dayton to say, let's do something that's a little more focused and just focus on the school districts that are dealing with significant budget shortfalls. And he said, no, I want $138 million, no questions asked. And if you don't give it to me, everybody in the state is going to feel significant pain come next tax season.
So I've been dealing with this ridiculous jaw pain from the root canals that I had done, you know, over a week ago now. And I finally got my pain managed over the weekend. And a lot of it has to do with just taking the right dosage of pain meds and alternating and remaining calm. Right. I figured that was a big, big key, because the moment I started to get worked up or I grind my teeth or my heart rate gets going, it would just start, you know, I really start to tense up and it would bring back these headaches. And so I'm in this state of calm. You send over this email with these interviews that Dayton did with local media over these vetoes. I had to stop watching because I was unable to remain calm.
Losing your calm?
I was losing my calm just because of just what how I almost feel bad now for calling Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Fry a man-child. I mean, he is, but he is in sort of that, hey, everybody, you know, let's go have some fun on the zip line. Seeing Governor Mark Dayton in these interviews as a grown-up leader, he was, I mean, I've never seen a man act like such a child in trying to explain, which he didn't do, his rationale for just shooting everything down that the GOP, not even just the GOP, that the legislature tried to accomplish in this legislative session. I mean, it was maddening.
He governs like a spoiled toddler.
He's the worst.
Who's being told no for the first time.
Just the worst.
Yeah, that's how he governs. A spoiled toddler who's used to getting everything they want, who suddenly their parents decided to start telling them no, and they don't know how to deal with it.
So we have lots to get to, and we'll start off with that a little bit coming up, I believe, in Sam's Top 5. We'll get into more of it in the 7 o'clock hour. Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty, he's going to give you a complete recap, another big story. DOJ, one facet of it, but the DOJ asks Watchdog to probe the Trump campaign surveillance claims. This news that broke late in the day, I guess it was on Friday, that there was an informant inside of the Trump campaign, all of which was preceding the initial FBI investigation after the Russian dossier, which would fly completely contradictory to what James Comey said. I mean, this was investigating into Trump's campaign in the spring, well before they had the information from the dossier and the FISA warrants. Andrew Langer's going to break all that down, get you completely up to speed. And of course, the one thing that's actually, strangely, and I think there's a reason why, but has gotten lost in the shuffle of a lot of the commentary, this horrific shooting that took place in Texas after the show on Friday. We'll have the latest details on that, but just another horrible story. And, you know, unfortunately, as with so many of these, we're having all the wrong conversations again, yeah. You know.
Also, at 8:35 this morning, Representative Jason Lewis is going to call in. He did some town halls over the weekend. Actually had some town halls, met with constituents.
That's right.
But you wouldn't know that from the coverage.
No.
The coverage was all about the people who didn't get into the town hall.
Of course.
Yeah. Not actually what happened at the town halls.
No, no.
It's the dozen or so people who stood outside and held signs and yelled. That's apparently the big story. But he'll join us to talk about what he did over the weekend as well.
Yeah, well, and before we get to Sam's Top 5, speaking of big stories, I do have a story that kind of, it's bigger than all of these.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I knew we had to get through these other ones first. People may not be aware of this, but there's a scandal has emerged out of the all-important, I know you watched because you were texting me, the royal wedding over the weekend.
Yeah, I set my alarm at, what, 3, 4 in the morning or whatever you had to wake
whatever
up.
Whatever day that actually took place.
Yeah.
There's a scandal brewing.
Who cares?
Well, you're going to care about this. It's a big deal.
We'll get to that, plus Sam's Top 5, all that coming up on Justice and Drew.
Justin.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew, along with Sam. There's a lot of, you know, huge, important stories, a lot of stuff to cover today. There's a few things that need to be mentioned, though. Okay. First and foremost, Solo Week. Let's just be honest here.
Solo Week!
Kind of got a Star Wars movie coming up. And thus begins the I know this is different than other weeks, because not every day, but every day this week it will be a different Star Wars shirt. I'm just going to, you know.
Yeah, that's just like the use.
That's not, that doesn't stand out.
Have you guys not figured out the formula yet?
Sometimes he wears a Depeche Mode t-shirt.
There's three. There's Star Wars, NASCAR, Depeche Mode.
Yeah. Right.
It's one of those every day. Right. So it really just, it doesn't really stand out.
Unless there's a guest. If there's a guest, I don't wear one of those.
You'll go on national TV with a Star Wars t-shirt on, so what's the difference?
Yeah, only once until they told me not to do it again. You know, so it is Solo Week. Looking forward to that. Bummer, by the way, about the whole head issue, head thing that I've been dealing with and all this pain. I haven't been able to drink any of my Zima. I've had like half of one. Because I've just been so paranoid about putting anything in my body that's going to trigger any sort of pain. Not to say that, Zima brings me pleasure, but I'm not partaking in, I haven't had any alcohol since this whole thing started. So that's very disappointing.
That's probably wise.
Yeah. Well, I might also be another reason why I keep getting headaches, because I haven't been consuming any alcohol. My body's like, Where's the wine, John? real quick, though, this is big news, and I know that there's a lot of other stories to get to in Sam's Top 5, but really quick, you know, we all had our text message together doing our commentary on the royal wedding.
Yeah, I meant to live tweet it.
Over the weekend.
But I failed to wake up.
It took place at some point.
Oh, and I also failed to care.
There is a big controversy, though. I don't know if you know this or not, but whether or not Meghan Markle... That's how you say her name, right? Am I saying that right? Okay.
As far as I know.
Apparently, people did not see her curtsy. And this is a big deal. People were very, very upset. The royal wedding watchers thought they caught a major faux pas when it looked like the new duchess didn't bow for Queen Elizabeth II during the Saturday service.
Oh, it's a big, big scandal.
People were tweeting, okay, forgive me if I missed it, but where was the curtsy?
I bet this was mostly Americans tweeting this.
Huge mistake if it was missed. I mean, she has lent you her grandmother's tiara. Take a moment to curtsy, someone wrote.
Even I take a moment to curtsy to Sam every morning.
True story. Well, you have to, or she beats you. Yeah. Where's my curtsy? And she grabs one of her stuffed animals and hits you upside the head with it.
Locked me with a coffee mug.
That's why
one day I forgot.
That's why I avoid the studio, and just in case I can. An etiquette coach. William Hansen wrote, Megan, did you curtsy to Her Majesty? I will have to lie down for months if you did forget.
Oh, no.
What is that going to do?
Is that like a British protest? Is that what it is? I'm just going to lie here.
You know what?
I'm not doing anything.
That's a good way to protest.
Yeah, I can get on board with that. Yeah, just like lie down in your own house or apartment.
Yeah.
And, like, not leave your house.
That actually would be pretty effective because you'd be in people's way.
Yeah. Well, don't do it on a freeway.
No, that's true.
Although if you try to put any further, you know, sort of charges on that, Dayton will just veto it. It turned out the 36-year-old former actress actually did curtsy. But the dutiful moment was cut short by some wonky TV video editing. I am proud to say that I did not see a single frame of the royal wedding this weekend.
I didn't bother to watch it. Saw some pictures. She looked nice. But
I know people get into it. That's great. You know, to each their own. You know, we all got our stuff. That's not one of my things at all.
I saw some posts on like social media or something somewhere where somebody was looking to rent a corgi to like, I don't know, they were having like a royal wedding watching party and they wanted a corgi present because that's like the queen's thing. So they wanted to rent a corgi for like a few hours.
People get so into it. This is how the really pretentious and elite find their excuse to party. You know, like other people, we like find our own excuses to party, you know, and whatever Star Wars or whatever people are into, we find excuses to get together and party. This is what the pretentious and elite do. Oh, we've got to have a royal wedding party, you know, and theme it and little things of tea, little cups and everything small.
I think it was a Brit's pub in downtown. They opened at like three or four in the morning to open up for a royal wedding watching party, and it was packed what I saw.
Can they legally serve alcohol at that time?
I don't know.
I don't think those people
I don't
care.
Know.
They just abide by British rules? I don't know what the British rules are.
I don't think the British have any rules when it comes to drinking.
But it's after 10 a.m. in England.
Yeah.
Why can't we serve?
I will say that was one of the coolest. Not a big beer drinker, but one of the coolest times that I ever had visiting pubs was when I went to Manchester, like back in like 98. I remember going into a pub in Manchester and they had a football, you know, contest on, right, and being in an English bar. That was pretty cool.
Sam has been in there scouring the internet. She has compiled the five most important stories that have happened since Friday's show ended. That you need to know to start your Monday.
Number one.
The Texas school shooting suspect apparently targeted a girl who denied his advances, and that's according to this girl's mother. From Fox News, the Texas school shooting suspect is charged with capital murder after 10 people were killed at Santa Fe High School. The mother of a 16-year-old girl who was killed along with 9 others in Friday's shooting at a Texas high school says she believed the suspect intentionally targeted her daughter. Sadie Rodriguez, she's the mother of Shanna Fisher, said that the suspect, who's 17 years old, repeatedly made advances toward her daughter in the 4 months leading up to the deadly shooting. This guy was an ex-boyfriend of Fisher's best friend, and Rodriguez told the Los Angeles Times he kept making advances on her, and she repeatedly told him no. He continued to get more aggressive. The grieving mother said the week before the shooting, her daughter stood up to him and embarrassed him in class. She went on to say, a week later, he opens fire on everyone he didn't like, Shanna being the first one. Rodriguez didn't say how she knew that her daughter was the first victim, though. But authorities say that the shooter killed two teachers and eight students who were identified. Who are identified as teachers.
This is tragic, obviously, goes without saying. But this motivation is something that's sort of been brewing. The Toronto terror attack from not long ago. The killer there had similar motivations. And it's part of this sort of online community of men who feel like unjustly rejected by women in society.
Right. They feel they feel like they're obligated to be able to be with whoever that they want to be with. And
right.
And in several of these recent incidents, including Parkland, I guess there were some references to this particular online group or mentality. There were some references on his Facebook page as well. And look, this, we have things to, there is obviously a problem. It is not gun related. This has to, which goes back to, as we talked about at length with the Parkland shooter, this goes back to a heart issue, a personality issue, you know, with these young boys. That to me is where this conversation needs to be taking place.
Yeah.
It needs to be taking place directly, as we always say, but I mean, it really does, directly to the individuals involved. What is compelling them to take this particular step, and why does it appear as if it's happening with such frequency? There's a lot there that needs to be covered.
Yep. It's a lot of people, they're going to want to focus on gun laws, gun control laws, and we're going to end up having the same conversation of pointing out that all of the things that are being proposed would have had no impact whatsoever on the ability of this individual person to get a hand on a weapon that could cause this much damage. I don't want to have that conversation. I'm not interested in having that conversation again and again and again. We should be talking about why there is so much of this swelling anger among a certain subset of men and boys in society right now, and how can we effectively address that. We're going to have to spend some more time on this at some point. I don't know that we're going to be able to get into it today, but there is this very angry movement among a certain group of men and boys, and it's very troublesome.
We'll have a few more comments on this particular top five, plus more of Sam's top five coming up a little bit later on in the hour. Hillary went to Yale. She actually admitted that she's not over it. I think she didn't really need to. We all knew that.
We all could kind of tell.
Yeah, that's coming up on Twin Cities News Talk.
Justice
and Drew.
Just saying.
This morning here on Twin Cities News Talk. Real quick on this, and we'll get into more of this in the 8 o'clock hour, but the Texas school shooting suspect apparently targeted a girl who denied his advances. We were talking about a moment ago that there's the motivation behind several of these recent attacks, potentially even in Parkland, but one that took place in Canada as well. And deals with this subgroup of young boys who feel that they're entitled to be with the woman they want to be with, and if they can't be, then they're going to lash out. And again, we don't have time to get into all of this right now, but to really break down, and as Drew was saying a moment ago, these are the discussions that we need to have in regards to these shootings. I'm with you, Drew. It's you know, enough with the talk about the guns. Let's talk about what's driving these young boys to go and no longer respect life and want to take the lives of others. And the reason why it's important to have those conversations and to begin that discussion is because if you're going to make any impact on other kids from doing that, then we need to have those discussions. And those discussions need to get down to the ages of the kids that are actually dealing with this. I mean, these are the types of things that I need to have conversations with, you know, with my boys about. Not because I'm worried that they're going to go down this road, but because they need to be also aware of how other kids their age may be dealing with these types of issues in their lives. And if we're not having those discussions, that they're going to be surrounded based off the gun debate, then we're not going to make any headway whatsoever of stemming these types of horrible, you know, school shootings from taking place.
651-989-5855 is the phone number, or use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. Let's get right back into Sam's top five for Monday.
Number two.
Trump is demanding the DOJ review claims of the FBI spy on his campaign. From the Associated Press, President Donald Trump said on Sunday that he's going to demand this week that the Justice Department open an investigation into whether the FBI infiltrated his presidential campaign for political purposes and whether any demands or requests for such action originated with the Obama administration. Trump tweeted, "I hereby demand and will do so officially tomorrow that the Department of Justice look into whether or not the FBI slash DOJ infiltrated or surveilled the Trump campaign for political purposes, and if any such demands or requests were made by people within the Obama administration." Trump has been promoting a theory circulating in conservative circles about a possible FBI spy on the campaign, though his attorney has cast some doubt on it. Rudy Giuliani, who represents Trump in the ongoing special counsel's investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 presidential election, said in a television interview last week that neither he nor Trump knows for certain if there's a spy on the campaign. Giuliani said they had been told of some kind of infiltration.
You know, it's there's a Powerline blog put out a post based off of that Associated Press story, and the core of the piece is focused on why Trump tweets. And what the Powerline blog points out is that ultimately Twitter has helped him. And they point to this Associated Press story because the argument is that if it hadn't been for Trump actually tweeting this out, the Associated Press probably wouldn't have picked up on or wanted to cover this particular story. But this whole idea that this is a theory that's been circulating in conservative circles, it got kind of a big boost when the New York Times went and reported on this potential informant inside of the Russia campaign prior to when the official, doing that thing with my fingers, investigation into Trump's alleged affairs with Russia began later in that year. This was taking place in the spring before the FBI dossier was even right out there and being used.
Every piece of evidence points to this conclusion. You know, you've had FISA warrants that were withheld from congressional oversight for months and months. You had informants and the wiretapping under the guise of, well, we got to make sure that there's no foreign meddling. We got to make sure they're not working with the Russians or anything like that, which was never verified, which was never, they used that as this guise. And now, I mean, they even come out and saying, well, I mean, if the FBI did spy on him and had an informant, it was really for their own protection. we were just looking out for them. Yeah, how's that worked out?
we're gonna have our DC correspondent Andrew Langer. He'll do a big reset on this whole issue coming up just before 7 o'clock. He did. I was chatting with him this morning. He did have one thing, and we'll throw it out, and we'll get into more of this after 7. He said this: if the FBI. Just a question. If the FBI had an inkling that the Russians were meddling in the election, right? Why didn't they open a counterintelligence investigation into Russia? Why did they investigate just the Trump campaign? Like, if this happened before the dossier even existed, before Comey said this whole thing started, and that was the justification for it with the FISA warrant, if the Obama administration had concern that the Russians were trying to go and meddle in the election, why just focus on the GOP candidate? Why wouldn't you go and open a complete investigation, you know, into Russia and include that with Hillary? Who? I think it's obvious the reason why.
But Bernie Sanders and include it with Jill Stein and include it with Gary Johnson. I mean, there's unbelievable. There's this whole other side story of the Jill Stein campaign being investigated and not necessarily cooperating with the investigation that's gotten very little coverage. It's under the same sort of guise of foreign meddling and things like that. So, yeah, if this was happening, it's foolish to think that Russia would put all its eggs in the Trump basket.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they would try to get their
fingers
into as many different angles and campaigns as possible.
And we have example after example after example of that. I mean, we've had, all the outlets that continue to push this Russia collusion narrative have also been the same outlets who have showed time and time again all of the different ways that that Russia wanted to cause chaos and confusion. From all the different angles, whether it was Charlottesville or Black Lives Matter, down to single, area, local issues. Mm-hmm. Oh, but when it comes to the Russian meddling, it was, of course, just Trump.
Just Trump.
Just yeah. Trump.
Yeah. Number three.
Governor Mark Dayton threw a big old veto tantrum during the legislative session's final bills. From the Star Tribune, Minnesota lawmakers adjourned late last night after finalizing a handful of tax and spending measures, but with little chance they'd have much to show for 3 months of work, as Governor Mark Dayton vowed to veto most of their major efforts. Caught up in the tense political fight between the DFL governor and Republican legislative leaders were changes to the state's tax code, including an income tax cut, new protections for nursing home residents, money for school districts facing budget shortfalls, money to combat opioid epidemics, and a public works bonding bill to help pay for statewide infrastructure upgrades. Sunday, yesterday, was the last day lawmakers could approve legislation, and the House and Senate met on and off in floor sessions to finalize those and other pieces of legislation. A few hours after midnight last night, they sent Dayton a nearly 1,000-page spending and policy omnibus bill. The governor reiterated last night that he plans to veto it, along with
cool.
the tax bill.
Go ahead.
God, what a jerk.
Go ahead. I mean, the only thing I really care about that I want to see get passed is that tax conformity.
Right.
Because that is going to have such a painful impact on so many Minnesotans. And it's all being held up because Governor Dayton is throwing a little temper tantrum.
Little.
Over.
I don't want.
Yeah. Yeah. If the bonding bill doesn't get passed, you know, that's too bad because I'm sure, as they say with every bonding bill, there's some really good stuff in there. Along with a lot of crap.
Sure,
but
sure.
There's some really good stuff in there.
Sure.
Then that doesn't get passed. Fine, whatever. Supplemental budget, fine, whatever. You know, Governor Dayton, go ahead, veto all that. But don't punish every Minnesota taxpayer, every Minnesota business over this emergency funding for schools that if it really is that much of an emergency, why did you choose to go to a DFL fundraiser on Friday night instead of negotiating with legislative leaders? And why do you refuse to call a special session to deal with it?
Dayton said last night, it's all about themselves and their own reelection, and it is disgusting. He accused Republicans of kowtowing to corporate interest groups at the expense of broader aims, called the session a debacle, and said Republicans were beholden to special interests.
Now, I do agree with you in the sense that some of the stuff that he vetoed, I'm fine with getting vetoed. I'm with you. I just want to see the tax part taken care of, and I think the deputy registrar should have gotten taken care of. But what's infuriating with this whole thing is that the justification for why he went and vetoed those other things that we don't particularly care about, it doesn't fly. He simply refused to let the GOP legislature have a victory on anything.
Yeah,
on anything.
And he pretty much admitted that.
This wasn't because, you know, he didn't like what was being proposed. He framed it that way. No, this was petty, childish, and vindictive, and the biggest jerk move that I have ever seen at the hands of a sitting governor. And to go and watch him, the way that he would try to rationalize this and dance around legitimate questions that were being asked of him, right? And the one specifically, it was I think with the ad issue or the interview that was done with him, he was asked specifically why he waited so long to request that emergency funding for the schools, right, when it could have been handled before. He has completely dodged the question all together and just focused it back over, well, you know, we have these schools that, you know, these draconian cuts are going to take place and they don't care about the children. I've never seen such a petty and vindictive series of moves ever. I mean, I really found the whole thing. I mean, I knew he was bad. I didn't know he was this bad.
Oh, he's awful.
This is deplorable.
Yeah, this is really bad. This is really terrible. And if it really were that much of an emergency, he would not be so steadfastly opposed to having a special session, which the legislative leaders, Dowd and Gazelka, they said they were open to. They said they're open to having a special session to deal with this specific issue. If it is an emergency, if it is draconian, if kids are going to suffer as much as Dayton says they are, then it is absolutely worthy of having a special session for. The fact that he is so adamantly opposed to it tells you how the lack of seriousness that he has.
Because Dayton has 14 days in which to act on the bills headed to his desk, the final outcome will stay cloudy as the governor considers his options. But he repeated vows to veto the tax bill and the hefty spending and policy bill, which together comprise much of the major work product of lawmakers in Dayton's final legislative session.
Yeah, and we'll be getting into more of this after we talk with Andrew Langer coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning. There's a lot more to uncover.
Number four.
Obama's education secretary says, let's boycott school until gun laws change.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good luck, man.
Does that make sense? From the Washington Post, former education secretary Arnie Duncan pushed a radical idea on Twitter that parents should pull their children out of school until elected officials pass stricter gun control laws.
Let's just, you know what? I'll take it even further. Let's just disband the entire public education system on a federal level and put it all back in charge of local communities and local jurisdictions.
What? I'm on board.
No.
Yeah,
no,
I'm on board. Let's just take it even further.
I'm on board.
Does he know that most schools are pretty much wrapping up now? I mean, I
am totally on board with that, Drew. I think that's a fantastic idea. Let's just get rid of the Department of Education until we can solve this problem.
There you go.
Yeah, until this problem is solved.
Yes.
You might as well say, as of the first week in June, let's boycott school for 3 months.
Ugh.
Okay. This is just ridiculous. His tweet came hours after the shooting rampage at a Houston area high school on Friday that killed 10 people, which we mentioned earlier in the five. That was a mass shooting that came just 3 months after 17 students and staffers were slain at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. When Peter Cunningham, a former Education Department employee, tweeted that it may be time for parents to pull their children out of school until gun laws are changed, Duncan, the education secretary under Obama, responded that his family, quote, is in.
Wow.
He tweeted, this is brilliant and tragically necessary. What if no children went to school until gun laws changed to keep them safe? My family is all in if we can do this at scale. Parents, will you please join us?
Well, and this is an interesting emerging tactic. We saw this happen in Arizona. They had some funding measures that they in the Arizona state legislature that they were dealing with, and the schools decided to do this full walkout until they got what they wanted, even though they had gotten what they wanted. But this is an interesting sort of new move now, and I don't know if it's going to continue to grow. But this trend of we'll just completely walk out of school altogether until we get what we want.
I'm on board. Go for it. The schools, you know, 90% of the schools suck anyway, so. We will continue with Sam's Top 5, wrap it up, and talk with our D.C. correspondent, Andrew Langer, coming up next.
Justice in